You went to a little basketball last night.
I did. I went for a while, yeah.
Well, this guy was at a little basketball, too. Joining us is Raptors TV voice Matt Devlin.
I waved at him. He didn't see me.
Did you shun John Shannon, Matt?
You know what? If I had known that the ambassador, the general, the man himself was there, I would have never have done that. He knows that, and I want to apologize.
No, don't apologize. You are wearing your nice multicolored scarf, you and Leo side, courtside, you know?
Yes, that's right, the Giants of Africa scarf.
And, yeah.
And look at you. I think you're doing double duty today.
Oh, yeah.
Did I hear you earlier today on Hockey Central?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, it's just... He's,
wow.
And... turn on
multiple
your TV.
Paychecks.
Turn
you
on your
it
TV, Manny. Turn your TV on at 6 o'clock too. Okay.
What are you doing then?
Just for you.
I got to do something.
Oh, you're doing the Calgary game?
No, Tim and Sid.
Oh, Tim.
That's tomorrow.
Oh my God!
Are you doing the Calgary game tomorrow?
Are you filling in for Tim?
No. I'm going down to do something
with
the
guest.
Arena.
He's a guest.
I'm a guest. I'm just a guest.
Okay.
High profile guest and apparently multimedia too. Did you write anything for any website, John? Can we say that?
I tweeted.
There we go. He's done it all,
there
Matt.
And
it
he
looked,
has.
It looked like last night the Raptors kind of did it all, too. They were very much
what
in control.
Segue. What a segue.
I'm smooth that way. King of the segue.
Well, look, you know what? It's a team that you're supposed to take care of business against, and they were able to do that. I credit, actually, Phoenix in, you know, game six of a six-game road trip, second night of a back-to-back. They hung in there. And the Raptors, you know, attempted to pull away on multiple occasions, but were unable to do that.
So, actually, before we talk more about the Raptors, did you have a chance to talk to Jay?
You know what? Just briefly.
Yeah.
Just saw him in the hallway briefly. But, you know, he's done a good job. You know, they're playing hard for him. They're 9-14 now under him. It's been a tumultuous situation there with the ownership, with Robert Sarver. We talked about a little bit on the air last night with Leo, just how, you know, that used to be a destination spot when the Colangelos were there.
Yeah.
They did a great job, you know, bringing in players and did a great job competing year in and year out. And, you know, think back to, you know, the Steve Nash years and what a great run they had there. But it has just been a long time now, you know, for Phoenix.
Yeah, memo to anyone, that's what happens when you have a meddling owner.
Well, certainly, you know, it's been interesting. I mean, you know, people forget Steve Kerr was there as a general manager.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was there and
well, Brian,
he had known
Brian,
Robert Sarver.
Brian
Sarver
was there
for quite some time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where
so,
do you,
go ahead.
So where do you put this team right now as you watch it develop? And as I said, after the playoff loss last year, they're going to do a reset and look at a different plan. How do you see it developing now as you get to this point? You're getting into this month where they should have a lot of success. Are you seeing those things come to fore, the players' growth in this new system?
Well, absolutely. I think we can all look at the assist totals, right? I think that, you know, this is a team that was 30th in the league in assists all of last year. What did they have? Four games where they had 25 or more assists. I think they've done that now 10 times already. You know, that's the culture reset, right? That's sharing the basketball as well as, you know, the addition of more threes. But, you know, this is a team that I feel has the ability to win the East, could certainly have at least two or three more wins under their belt. They don't. Part of that was going out west early, seeing some teams early that, you know, maybe you could have been able to go into that building and take care of business. But you're also learning a new offense, and I think now things are starting to really click. There's several reasons why. You know, certainly starting with Kyle Lowry and his play has been off the charts. DeMar DeRozan continues to do what he's been able to do, but adding sharing the basketball, which to me, you know, really extends and accelerates his game. And then you add in, you know, that second unit. And to me, you know, they're right now, they're, you know, look, they have the same record as they did last year, but it certainly doesn't feel like that. And they're 15-7 right now. This time last year, they were 15-7.
Yeah, to me, you're right. I think it's all about momentum. And you know, early in the or midway through the first quarter, you looked at what they were doing and the amount of time in transition. That's the thing that I really enjoyed last night was the speed at which they play the game. We're not just talking about looking for the 3-point shot, but the amount of time, how quickly they came down the court, Matt, that has to be something that's much more fun to be around every day.
Well, no question. I think that, you know, there's a couple of things from an analytics standpoint. You know, people always think it's just threes. It's not, right? It's getting to the rim. And when you're out in transition, when you're getting stops defensively, getting out in transition and you can get to the rim, it's really beneficial to play offense against a defense that isn't set. And so, you know, this is a team that's starting to do that. You have some bigs in Poeltl and Siakam that can really run the floor. You know, things kind of get simplified a little bit too from a rotation standpoint with two injuries, DeLon Wright and then also Lucas Nogueira being out. So that rotation, you know, you're still using a lot of players, but yet you don't have to worry about trying to weave in certain guys. And, you know, that second unit just has a ton of energy. They have great 3-point shooting in CJ Miles. And if Pascal Siakam could ever, you know, find that touch from outside and also from the free throw line, that would add another dimension. But that's something that more than likely won't happen, you know, until the off season, right? So
it is a better team than last year, though, isn't it?
I think so. I really do. Now the competition around it is better as
sure.
well.
Sure.
You know, I thought that last year that, you know, the Raptors had the ability to win the East. They came up two games shy of that. We could go back and analyze a handful of games, including a game against Phoenix in Phoenix that they didn't win. But I think that this is a better team. I think it's a team better suited for the way that the NBA is going. And now we'll see how they handle this stretch going out west against teams that are sub 500. And can you go out there, impose your will, pick up wins, and just putting together a significant run, very much like Boston, as well as Cleveland's currently doing, having won 12 in a row. And I think that this team is capable of it. Will they do it? You don't know. But this is a team that certainly is capable.
And what we're not seeing, and maybe this was the knock on the Raptors of, they'd have like a lull. There'd always be a quarter or that section where all of a sudden they'd kind of disappear and the other team kind of crawled back in. They seem to be avoiding that kind of lull where they kind of back off. They continue to roll and try to keep that momentum going that John mentioned too.
Well, I think that, you know, Rob, that, you know, they have had those, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have had those. It's something that, you know, they continue to deal with. They've been better at it over the course of this three-game homestand and four consecutive wins. They've been better at that. But, you know, you're in New York, you're up double digits at half, and you don't put together a solid third quarter and you lose. In fact, you got outscored 41-10 in that third quarter. And then you go to Indiana. You're up at halftime double digits. And once again, that third quarter creeps in. So they've done a better job of handling, you know, that third quarter. And that's really helped them. But look, at basketball, as we all know, is a game of runs. And during those runs, from a defensive standpoint, can you get critical stops? And then from an offensive standpoint, you know, do you have the ability to have a run stopper out there at that time get you a critical bucket? And if you have the combination of those two things, you know, on most nights, you should be able to avoid those lulls.
And, you know, when you talk about consistency, what you have to do is win the games you're supposed to win. And that, you
absolutely.
Know, I mean, you talked about, They should have handled Phoenix in Phoenix the same way they did last night,
right?
And that's that consistency. That I think we talked about this the last time you were on, Matt. This month with another Western road trip coming up. I mean, I think this is where you're going to figure out whether this team can be consistent enough or not to be a contender in the East.
Well, I agree with you. You go to Memphis, you go to Sacramento, you hit L.A. on the second night of a back-to-back against the Clippers. Then you head to Phoenix. Those games right there are all winnable games,
as we
know.
You should be 4-0.
And so we will see. Now, this is a team that is 5-1 against teams under 500. That one loss was in Denver. So they have been able to handle their business. And that's extremely important to do if you are a team that wants to separate. I always say this about teams. Doesn't matter the sport. What is your record against teams under 500? You first have to handle that.
Yeah.
And that was something that the Raptors did five seasons ago. They started handling their business against teams that were under 500. Then what is your record? When you become an elite team, you look at Golden State, when you look at Cleveland, when they're at the level that we all know that they can be, not only are they off the charts against teams under 500, but they're the same way against teams above 500. And that's really, the Raptors, to their credit, over the last two seasons specifically, they've had a winning record clearly against under 500 teams, and they've had winning records against teams that are above 500. And so if they're able to do, as you said, John, go out on this road trip, really separate themselves, not get sucked into lulls that they have out west before.
Right.
Sacramento has been a tough place for them to play. Phoenix has been a tough place for them to play. Memphis has had their moments. So, can they just show up, take care of business, and move on? Because when you return home, you're here for just a blip against Brooklyn and Sacramento. You head back on the road, Charlotte, Philadelphia, then back home to take on Philadelphia. And those two Philly games are going to be really intriguing to watch with the way that they're playing. Yeah.
I tell you what, I can see getting in trouble on Beale Street, but that nightlife in Sacramento, man, it'll kill you.
No. It's because they're bored. There's nothing to do.
An off day in Sacramento.
Oh, my. What did you do wrong to deserve that?
Can't you go to the legislature or something and wander around the Capitol?
The great thing is that there's a new hotel in Sacramento. So we'll at least, be at a new hotel that we can, check out and see. But no, there's not much going on in downtown Sacramento. There really isn't. And Memphis on a Thursday night, Beale Street will be hopping.
Yeah, will indeed.
About that.
Let me ask you, the way Boston came out of the gate and they've ripped it up, now Cleveland's ripping it up. This is an important stretch then for the Raptors to stay with those two teams.
Well, absolutely, Rob. This is, as we just discussed, it's a time for them to take advantage of a schedule that's laid down in front of them. Yeah. Where starting a week and a half ago in Atlanta, a stretch of 10 of 11 against teams under 500, the one team above 500, Indiana. And they were able to handle the Pacers last Friday night. Boston, they've had just a remarkable run. They really have. I mean, they're putting it back together again, right? And they're playing at an elite level. Now, that game to me, 95-94, DeRozan with the jumper over Jaylen Brown, right, fading in the paint, an inch more and you win that game 96-95. They didn't. But the Raptors, I think, can play with Boston. We have yet to see Cleveland, but I believe that, Cleveland still is at, that elite level, and they don't have Tristan Thompson. They don't have Isaiah Thomas right now. If you want to keep pace, you definitely have to go out west and handle your business.
I got news for you. They don't need Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
I mean,
they'll need him at some point.
23 is pretty good.
Yeah.
That's a scouting report.
Yes, there's no doubt. And when you look at, and people always like to throw around franchise players, well, he's a franchise player. And I'll never forget when he was in Miami, Raptors were up and they hadn't won in Miami in years. And they were up double digits at the start of the fourth. And LeBron just comes surging back, roaring back. And Miami ends up coming away with the win. And I was talking to a couple of personnel, from Miami Heat personnel after the game and saying, man, LeBron, you could put him on, 14 other Eastern Conference teams and you got a chance not only go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but win it, go to the NBA Finals and win. And their response was, no, it's Miami. It's the Heat way. We have captured this. And I'm thinking to myself, nah, I don't think so. I think LeBron's that good. And clearly we've seen since that time that, yes, Cleveland had never won until he arrived again with Kyrie and with Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson. And he's been to the NBA Finals every year since then. In the 4 years that he was gone, they won collectively just 97 games.
You know what I like, though? He's been so durable, too. You know, for a guy who plays as much as he does and is on the floor and does so much, he's incredibly durable.
He is. He really is. And I think that speaks to his off-the-court workout regimen. He is in unbelievable shape, takes care of himself. I think that you're right. I mean, you know, here's someone that plays an immense amount of minutes and time. And has been to the NBA Finals. He's playing in June, you know, for the last 7 years straight. It's amazing. And he's the one that keeps on going, keeps on ticking. It speaks to how brilliant of a player he is.
Matty, thanks so much for doing this. So we know you got a long haul for December, but have some fun on the road, even in Sacramento.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And Shanny, you know, if I had known that you were there, you know, I would have stopped and at least come over and bowed at least once.
The problem was it was the five security guys around you that wouldn't let me near. That was the problem. Damn Attilia wasn't going to let me near you. So, that was the problem.
But I don't think that's for Matty. I think that's for Leo.
That might be for Leo.
That could be for Leo.
It's true. It was for Leo.
Matt, thanks so much.
See you guys.